So should we, you know,
get started?
Talk about spooky shit?
Should we talk about shit that scares us?
Well, I mean, I think we already were, our mothers.
That's true.
This is actually less scary, in my opinion.
Okay. So, first, I want to say, hey guys, sorry this episode's so late. I've had a lot going on.
So, you know, deal with it, because we are people with lives.
Yes, and shit happens. I wish I didn't have to start our podcast with a late episode already, but I pinched a nerve in my neck. One of my roommates pulled out. I still didn't have a clear place to work until, like, the other day. So, you know, just a lot's going on.
That bitch has been going through it.
Bitch has been fucking going through it. Jesus Christ. So, welcome to episode 5. Sorry it's late.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. So yeah, we're just gonna kind of get into it because I don't know, you guys waited extra long to hear it, so we're not gonna jibber jabber too much.
Yeah, you deserve to get to the meat of it.
Yeah, the point. We're gonna get to the point, not right away, but pretty soon. So today, I'm sorry, I'm actually gonna get into a kind of a super sad story.
Ugh.
That's is
okay.
Pretty recent.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Some people are saying that the person I'm covering today might be one of the most infamous and successful child serial killers to come out of the UK.
Oh my.
So today I'm going to tell you about Lucy Letby. Have you heard anything about this?
No, I haven't.
Yay! I was
hoping so. I feel like I don't
hear
many from over the pond, although mine is from another country as well.
Ooh, we're getting international.
International week and we didn't even know it!
Whoop whoop! Okay, so.
It's because we're cultured.
Of course. So cultured. I know a lot of things about a lot of stuff. Anyway. So like I said, I'm going to tell you about Lucy Letby. I'm glad you haven't heard anything about it because it's kind of crazy. So I'm going to just start from the beginning. She was born January 4th of 1990.
Oh man, she's only 7 years older than me.
Whoa. She was the only child of a finance manager and an accountant clerk.
Fun people.
Yep. She grew up in Hereford. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And was educated at Alley Stone School in Hereford Sixth Form College, which is a lot of English talk for school.
Thanks for the translation.
You're welcome. So, like, nothing really came up about her childhood life. She had a pretty normal, non-traumatic childhood. According to childhood friends, she wanted to pursue a career in helping with infants and young children from a young age. Lucy went on to try and achieve that goal and went to nursing school. She was the first of her family to receive education from a university.
Good for her.
Yeah,
break the glass ceiling.
Yeah, she was doing a lot of things. And she went on to pursue her education in nursing at the University of Chester, where she also worked as a student nurse during her 3 years of training. So carrying out placement at Liverpool Women's Hospital and the countless of Chester Hospital, Lucy began working as a registered nurse at the neonatal unit of the countless of Chester Hospital in 2012.
That is really recent.
Mm-hmm. In a 2013 staff profile, she said that she was responsible for caring for a wide range of babies requiring various levels of support, and that she enjoyed seeing them progress and supporting their families.
Seems all right.
Seems normal so far. Lucy also took part in a campaign to raise funds for a new neonatal unit in the hospital. So she was really passionate about her job. And in one of her placements in late 2012, and again, she went back in 2015, people started to sense that something weird was going on with her. They started to get kind of suspicious. So in June 2016, consultants, like the other nurses and stuff, asked management to remove her from clinical duties pending an investigation into her conduct.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't find anything that told me specifically, like, what she was doing that made the nurses, like, suspicious of her.
But it had to be something, like, big.
Yeah,
it was... that far with, like, it.
I read one account of a nurse trying to help her with a baby, and she, like, snapped at her. So she had previously been moved from night to day shifts in April 2016. And was transferred to the patient experience team in July of 2016. And later, the risk and patient safety office, working there until her arrest in 2018. So, for a long time, she was taken out of working with the babies. And basically was just like in a, like, a filing nurse. Like, she wasn't really working with people anymore.
Yeah, because moving her today seems like they wanted more eyes on her.
Yeah. So people were just starting to get suspicious. Basically, all I could find was a consultant that led a consultant and lead neonatologist at the Countess of Chester informally reviewed 4 unexplained collapses at the unit in June 2015. So in 2015, there were 4 babies that had died, and they wanted to look further into it to figure out, like, why that happened. 3 of the cases they looked into because they were 3 deaths within the same month. And they noted that Lucy had been on shift on each occasion. So basically they were like, hey, why did, like, 4 babies turn up dead on your watch? That's weird.
Not a good look.
Yeah, why did that happen? So the unit's consultants reported the deaths to the trust committee for serious incidents, but they were classified by the committee as medication errors. So the hospital just kind of, like, swept it under the rug and was like, oh, these clearly were just, somebody gave them, like, the wrong medication or too much of the wrong medication. So they didn't file it as, like, a serious incident involving an unexpected death. And if they had, at that point, an investigation could have opened right then and there. But they didn't do that.
Of course not.
So the unit's consultants raised their concerns about Lucy with the nursing director in the same month. Because they were like, hold up, nothing's happening? Uh-uh. In February 2016, he, meaning the nursing director, with other consultants, undertook a thematic review of 5 unexplained deaths and other collapses on the unit and conducted the only common factor was Lucy's presence on the ward.
Yikes.
Yeah. So she was working every single time there was a death. So the lead neonatologist emailed his report to the trust's medical director and asked for a meeting, which occurred in May of 2016. So no action was taken because the executive team felt that it was a coincidence.
Hmm.
So I bet they feel like asses now when I get further into this. You're going to see why they feel like fucking assholes. So she was causing so much damage that the literal death rate for infants raised by 10%.
Oh my god.
In 2015 to 2016. So she doubled the rate from what it was in 2014.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So the Care Quality Commissions, the CQC, visited the hospital in February 2016. And the CQC commented that their discussions with the trust medical director included the reports by staff of alleged challenges in raising concerns with managers, but denied that the high mortality rate had been brought up to them at all. So they said, you guys showed me all this stuff and we're talking about her behavior, but nobody showed me the infant rates went up. Nobody showed me that. I didn't know.
You couldn't have, like, looked up for that information yourself? As part of, I don't know, the investigation?
Yeah. So executive directors at the trust met at the end of June 2016 and discussed whether to involve the police. And this was the first time that they had considered that option. Out of all this, this was the very first time that they considered calling the police.
Oh my god.
By this time, 7 unexpected deaths had occurred on the unit. 7. They felt that the evidence of Lucy's involvement was circumstantial and feared the doctors were carrying out a witch hunt.
Ironic.
Yeah. They probably feel so shitty now. They were also concerned about reputational damage to the trust of a police investigation.
Of course. It's all about the reputation.
Of course. So they decided not to contact the police. So the solution to all of this was to downgrade the unit and no longer accept premature babies and send those patients to different hospitals and to remove Lucy from the neonatal unit. So after they also decided, hey, we're going to watch Lucy a little closer for you. So to see if like the claims had any backing to them, they were like, we're going to watch her a little more closely. So the Royal College of Pediatrics and Child Health, I'm not even going to say the abbreviation for it because it's super long, reported their findings to the medical director and chief executive in October of 2016. So they could not find a definitive explanation of the increase in mortality rate at the unit, but found some insufficient staffing and senior cover. So basically they're saying it's the hospital's fault that there's not enough staff.
Right. If somebody was watching her,
yeah,
then this wouldn't have happened, essentially.
Or if more people were working, then somebody would have caught that they were dying before they died.
Right.
So in September 2016... Lucy raised a formal grievance about her transfer for clinical duties. So she was starting to get pissed that she got moved. So this was upheld by the board in January 2017, who found that her removal had been orchestrated by the consultants with no hard evidence. So they let her back into the neonatal ward.
Oh my God.
And they offered her a placement at Elder Hay Children's Hospital in Liverpool. Plus support to develop advanced practice or a master's degree. So they were like, you know what? We're going to put you back in the neonatal ward. We'll even take you to a hospital that specializes specifically in children. And we're going to offer you the opportunity to raise your degree.
That's very conflicting because on one hand, that seems like very, like, okay, let's focus on education. And assuming that she's incompetent, I suppose.
Yeah.
But given that many deaths, I feel like that's too little too late.
Yeah. But at the same time, they were like, she has no connection to these deaths. Other than the fact that she was there, this is a coincidence. So they didn't see it that way because they didn't think they were watching a killer.
Right.
They thought they were just watching somebody who was apparently not liked by a lot of staff.
And maybe not a very good nurse.
Yeah, is what they assumed. So the medical director also commented in the report that the trust's intention was to protect Lucy Letby from these allegations.
So protect themselves.
Yeah.
From those allegations.
The trust chief executive have met with Lucy and her parents on December 22nd, 2016 to apologize on behalf of the hospital and assured them that the doctors who made the allegations would be, quote unquote, dealt with.
Wow.
He later ordered the consultants to send a letter of apology to Lucy, which they did in February of 2017. Mind you, that was a year before her arrest. So a year before her arrest, she was getting all these notes.
All this princess treatment.
Yeah. And only 1 month later, in March 2017, consultants asked management to involve the police after receiving advice from the regional neonatal lead. So the regional, yeah, like the top dog was like, no, you need to report this now. He suggested further investigation. He's like, you need to open an investigation on this. This is insane. So they then met with Cheshire Constabulary in April 2017 to raise their concerns. I feel like I said that funny.
Or could it just be a funny word?
I see. That's the thing. Like, I am a little bit of a gamer. I love We Happy Few, and it's like set in England. So they have constables everywhere. I can say constable, but constabulary is like weird to me. I don't know why I can't say it. The trust publicly announced the involvement of the police in May 2017, stating this move was to seek assurances that enable us to rule out unnatural causes of death. So they called the police investigation Operation Hummingbird.
That's girly pop.
Girly pop. On July 3rd, day before 4th of July, 2018, Lucy was arrested by police on suspicion of 7 counts of murder and 6 counts of attempted murder. I found a lot of articles that go into detail about, like, how she killed them, but I'm not going to get into that. If you really want to read about that, you can look it up. I don't feel comfortable talking about child death, so we're just going to skip over that stuff. There is, like, a quote that I use where it shows, it gives a little bit of description, but
other than that. We don't need to go into the gory details. That's like giving her too much power.
Yeah, I'm not really down to repeat any of it. So there was a year-long investigation into the high infant mortality rates at the Countess of Chester Hospital. This led them to look into her entire career. I have a list of all her charges, but I'm not going to read all of them because there are 22 in total.
Oh my God.
And they're like really long titles for the charges. So I will tell you, though, that she was found guilty for 14 of them. She was only found not guilty for 2 of them, and the others had no verdict. So she claimed not guilty to all 22 of them.
Which is insane.
Yeah. So she's like, I didn't do it. So there were a couple of survivors of hers, a girl who's now 8 and a boy who's now 7. None of the names are to be released until they're 18. So in court, they referred to them from like baby A to baby Q, I think. So the girl, she was born 15 weeks early and given just a 5% chance of survival. But she's since been diagnosed with quadriplegic cerebral palsy. So she has to be, like, fed by mouth and requires 24-hour care. So she, like, survived, but, you know, her life's not, like, what it would have been if Lucy had nothing to do with it. So the prosecution presented handwritten notes found in Lucy's home. And they said that it was weird because, like, there was an ongoing investigation and she knew that. So you would think that she would, like, hide it, but when they searched her house, they were just, like, out in the open.
She literally just didn't care.
Yeah. Either that or she, like, wanted them to find it for some reason, even though she claimed not guilty. So I have no idea. So the prosecution presented the handwritten notes, and she described herself as a horrible, evil person and says she killed them on purpose. Because she's insane.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah. But other notes apparently proclaimed her innocence, saying, I haven't done anything wrong and they have no evidence, so why have I had to hide away?
So which is it?
I don't know. She's delusional. She's cuckoo. The trial officially began on October 10th, 2022.
Just last year. Yeah. Like, not even a year ago.
I know, almost a year ago, because we're almost in October already. Jesus Christ. So a lot of claims were made that stated she had shown no emotion during, like, pretty much the entire trial, even during witness testimonies. And, like, one of the testimonies was a father whose statement was read to the court describing the haunting image of his triplet son, like, his final moments, saying, quote, you could see his veins bright, bright blue going different colors. He looked like he had prickly heat. You could see something oozing through his veins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so there were some cases that said that she, like, gave babies too much insulin. So there was one about, like, breast milk or something. I don't really remember. I didn't really want to read the details. So yeah, there, I know you. Few details. But Lucy stared ahead, like, the whole time, later dismissing the father's testimony from the witness box, saying, quote, I can't comment on their truth. I didn't see anything like that myself. So, like, just gaslighting.
That's the fucking, like, father. Really disrespectful.
Yeah, it's super fucked. So a quote that I got from one source that I thought was really chilling, I'm going to read you. It says, some parents were called watching the oddly cheerful nurse bathe and dress their dead baby, learning only years later their child had not died of natural causes and that the woman who performed the postpartum ritual was in fact their baby's killer.
Ugh,
which must be so chilling. Terrifying. Like, that would be so traumatizing.
Yeah, and to have it be somebody that obviously you put your trust into.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's fucked. It was not until the 16th week of... It was not until the 16th week of the trial that Lucy showed any emotion. But it had nothing to do with her victims, because she's insane. A doctor she was apparently, like, obsessed with and, like, super infatuated with was a married man. And, like, she had even testified that there was no romantic relationship between them. So she was, like, obsessed with him. They even believe he could have been part of, her motive, because she wanted to, like, impress him, I guess.
Impress him with all the dead babies that have been on her watch? Like, what?
So Lucy received... So in 2015, when she was working at the hospital, there was, like, a third baby's death within, like, 2 weeks. And Lucy received a text from that same doctor saying, quote, "I can't believe you were on again. You're having such a tough time," regarding the another death happened on her watch. So she said it was a part of the job and that she would keep plowing on. And she added, "I think there is an element of fate involved. There is a reason for everything." So she's insane.
That's creepy.
That's super creepy. So he came in to give evidence one afternoon in February. And as he confirmed his name from behind the screen that shields witnesses from the view of the defendant, Lucy started crying and left her seat to try to open the door to the court cells.
Whoa.
So she was upset because this guy that she's obsessed with had to come and testify against her.
That was unhinged.
Yeah. But also, like, good for him. At one point during the trial, she admitted to the fact that she would look for the parents of the babies she treated online, including the parents of a set of twins that she treated, where she successfully killed one and attempted to kill the other. The first time she searched for the mother online was shortly after finishing the shift in which she murdered a one-day-old boy. And then again, the night after attempting to kill his sister. And then again, 2 months later. And police also found records of 2,381 Facebook searches on her phone in the year of 2016.
That is excessive.
Yeah, that's about 200 a month.
Oh my God.
I could not imagine looking up 200 different people every month.
I mean, she's just stalking people left and right.
Like,
everybody she lays eyes
for
on.
For what? Yeah. Only a minority of these were the parents of the 17 babies in this trial.
Which, like, I know this is nothing in comparison to everything else she's done, but, you know, HIPAA? Heard of it?
Yeah. Literally, you're, like, although that is an American law. I don't know if it's a UK law.
Well, I feel like it should be, like, a universal thing.
It might be. I might be totally...
UK, do you guys have that?
I don't know. Tell us. Somebody from the UK, let us know.
We're uneducated.
We are, unfortunately. We're doing our best, though. Anyway, so... So, like, nobody really knows if she looked up all these people because she did treat every single one of their children, or if she wanted to kill their children, or what the reason was that she looked up so many other people, because, again, only 17 babies were involved in the trial. So that's a lot of Facebook pages from only 17 people.
That is a lot of searches.
Yeah.
What was she?
She must have really good internet. So they all, like, they noticed, like, a disturbing pattern in it, and that was that Lucy often searched for several of her victims' parents within a matter of minutes of committing a crime. She even searched for them on Christmas Day, which is so fucked.
That's really sick.
So it was a 10-month trial. And jurors had heard about a week of evidence for each of the 17 children.
Oh my God, so that's 17 a weeks. Long time. Yeah.
So the medical notes of one baby alone ran more than 8,000 pages.
Oh my God.
And there were 5,500 pages of witness statements and 32,000 pages of exhibits, including text messages and photographs.
And between all that, she still had the nerve to say not guilty.
Yep. Out of all this evidence, she was like, no, I didn't do any of that. So jurors were also given a 25-page glossary of medical terms so that they could actually keep up with the trial. and get an accurate understanding of everything. So evidently there was just a lot for them to go through to come to a verdict, which is why the trial took so long, because there was so much fucking evidence to present. So following the trial verdict, it was reported that police were investigating whether Lucy harmed other babies, and there was a continuing investigation of suspicious incidents at the Countess of Chester Hospital involving around 30 other infants. So there were only 17 on trial, but there are 30 other ones that they're investigating. Although the jury was only asked to decide on seven murder charges against Lucy, there were a total of 13 baby deaths on the neonatal unit in Lucy's final year working there. And Lucy, to no surprise, was working every single shift that happened.
That is such an astounding number.
That's like, yeah, that's a lot.
For just 1 year.
Because, like, how many... I should have looked up, like, the rate in which how many hospitals have, like, mothers in giving birth at one time.
Yeah.
You know, within, like, 1 week, how many mothers come through here? And then compare it to the amount that died. Because I wouldn't imagine that there's more than, like, 10 moms giving birth at once.
Right. Like, what's the percentage rate that she's at?
Yeah. Because if it's, like... If there's, like, four moms giving birth at once, and there's, like, two a day dying, to add up to 13.
Right. That's, like, that should have been so much more suspicious.
Yeah. Since Lucy has stopped working at the Countess of Chester Hospital, there has been comparatively only one death in 7 years.
One in seven versus 13 in one.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yep.
She absolutely, oh my god, they absolutely should have called the police before.
They're like, nah, it's just a coincidence. You guys are kind of being bitches right now. So we're going to offer her more money and a better job, actually. So Lucy also worked at Liverpool Women's Hospital during 2012. And in 2015, And the police are investigating all neonatal admissions at the hospital during those periods. So notably, two babies died while Lucy was training there. So they're looking into that too. And the families of several babies have been told that their child's birth at the hospital is within the scope of the investigation. Which must be a terrifying fucking phone call to get.
Yeah.
That, let's say you lost your child unexpectedly, and then, you know, not even 10 years later, you're getting a phone call saying, hey, we're investigating the death of your baby because it might not have been an accident.
Right. Like, I'm sure at that point people probably had started to come to terms
with
it just being something that happens and, you know, suddenly, and then to find out, no, there's somebody who's responsible for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be absolutely heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. So Cheshire police have said that further charges against Lucy could possibly be brought against her as a result of these further investigations. And on August 21st, 2023, so this was only a couple days ago from when we're recording this.
Yeah, like 3 days ago.
Yeah, she was sentenced by Goss at Manchester Crown Court to life imprisonment with a whole life order.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, so that's the most severe sentence possible under English law. She was in America, depending on what state, she could have gotten the death penalty. But Lucy became only the fourth woman in UK legal history to receive such a sentence. And Goss said that Lucy committed a cruel, calculated, and cynical campaign of child murder involving the smallest and most vulnerable of children. And nobody's really been able to figure out her motives. Some people think that maybe she just got a fucking thrill out of it. Some people think that, you know, maybe she felt like she was achieving something if she, like, I don't know. It also was said that, like, she only took out, I don't like saying it like that, took out babies that were, like, already had health complications and stuff, or, like, that they had, like, inherited disabilities or something like that, that she would.
Oh, so she kind of saw herself as an angel of
death. Yeah, she saw herself pretty much as doing, like, the Lord's work. Like,
oh,
she,
no.
Like, it's not said like that, but. Basically, what the gist I get from it is that she thought that she was, like, doing them a favor or something.
Right, that she was so ableist that she became a murderer.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, so... But at the same time, she claims not guilty to all of them. But she's in
prison for life, so she's gonna rot in that shit. And
well, if anybody deserves it, it's her.
Yeah, but if I ever see anything more about the further information that they found in their investigations that are still open on her, then I will let everybody know. But that is what we have so far. We have at least a sentence. Last time I did a recent one, there was like no sentence that was put out. So,
wow, I can't believe I'd never heard of that.
Yeah, I found it, teehee, from Reddit.
Of course.
Because you texted me and you're like, what are you doing this week? And I was like, fuck. I was like, I don't know, actually. Because I had that list, but I keep forgetting to take a picture of it because I wrote it on a stupid piece of paper. And I am a digital girly. So I can't put stuff on paper because then I will forget it when I'm at places. And then I won't remember what's on it. So I need to take a picture of it. Because I didn't go off my list this time. I have other things written on my list, but I had to figure out something in a pinch.
So. Well, I am so glad you chose the one you did because I can't believe I needed that knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, but I did.
Yeah.
Especially since it's happening, like, right now.
Yeah, apparently there's another nurse. I don't know if it was in America. I didn't look into him. I figured I could look into him at another point. Who was kind of, like, very similar. Was, like, killing children and stuff. But it was a long time ago. So she's, like, a repeat, basically.
Hmm. Not even original.
Yeah. Messy bitch.
What is it with nurses, man?
I don't know. I lived in Florida, so I was around a lot of nurses, like, all the time. My college was full of them. My college is, like, one of the top nursing schools, I think.
I know of somebody who was formerly a nurse. Could be currently, I don't particularly know. But had a supervisor that was allergic to cinnamon and purposefully went into his office and poured cinnamon all over it and got quietly let go of.
You tried to kill someone.
I know, but you know, it's all about the reputation. It's all about the reputation.
That's like attempted murder.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
That's crazy.
I feel like as long as, you know, institutions protect themselves instead of protecting other people, like, that kind of shit is going to happen.
Yeah. All right, you want to take a little break and smoke real quick, and then we'll do the witchy stuff?
Definitely.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
What's your favorite, like, weed munchy snack?
It depends on what kind of mood I'm in, I think. Because, like, cookies and ice cream are definitely a way to go. But that's only if I have, like, a sweet tooth or if I'm, like, on my period.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's probably usually just, like, chips.
Mine are specifically jalapeno kettle cooked chips. And that's been, like, a since high school thing.
Yeah. I was hyper fixated on jalapeno kettle chips, but specifically Miss Vicky's.
I knew you were going to say Miss Vicky's are the best.
It's so good. I've never been able to find them in a store. It's so upsetting. But I, like, the rest, other jalapeno chips just don't compare.
They don't. Some of them have too Harris much Teeter.
Jalapeno. Huh?
I think Harris Teeter has them.
Oh, slay. Like, most of the jalapeno chips are either too jalapeno or, like, not enough jalapeno and too much kettle, like, too crunchy. I don't want to cut my mouth open when I eat chips.
Yeah, Miss Vicky's is right in the sweet spot.
Oh, Miss Vicky's is so good. All of her chips are so good. Miss Vicky ate and left no fucking crumbs when she made that shit.
Except for the chip crumbs.
She put her heart and soul into those recipes and it shows.
It really shows, Miss Vicky. Thank you for your service.
Miss Vicky is fully endorsed by witches. Miss Vicky is the chip of our coven.
You know what? I think you could use magic on, like, anything. And jalapeno kettle cooked chips, like, what a weapon against your enemies.
Yeah.
It's crunchy, it's sharp, it's spicy.
Spicy?
I would, like, write down somebody's name that I hate and, like, sprinkle some jalapeno kettle cooked chips over it.
Yeah.
Maybe in a little baggie, shake it up.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready for my murder?
I am, of course.
So I wanted to do something that was a little spooky.
Ooh.
I'm feeling the Summerween vibes. Yeah. Raina's putting out a Summerween flash sheet.
I am. It might be available as like prints too.
Ooh. So. Okay. There is pumpkin spice now officially. Yeah. It's time for something spooky.
Oh my gosh, we've been like hunting in stores for Halloween stuff.
Yes.
There's some good finds out there this year, y'all.
I'm still waiting for all of our stores to get more though.
They always take for fucking ever here.
Yeah. And we don't have a Spirit Halloween anywhere close to us.
We don't?
No. There was one last year, but yeah, it's not on there now. I looked on their website. It didn't even say coming soon.
Well, then we gotta make a trip somewhere.
I know.
I'm not going to Spirit this year.
Exactly, because I want all the Barbie things.
Yeah, I saw them setting up the tent at the mall, though. Or, like, getting the blockers ready for it.
Hmm.
So.
Okay, I can live with that.
Yeah, but they might not have Barbie costume. Although they might, because they kind of get the same stuff as Spirit.
But, like, adult Barbie?
Hmm. We'll have to look. We'll have to look.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So I also did a foreign murder. So if I am mispronouncing things, just don't bother correcting me.
I do it all the time. It's fine.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm trying my best. Today, I'm going to be talking about the Hinterkaifeck murders.
Hinterkaifeck?
Yes. That is the name of a farm built in 1863 in Bavaria, about 45 miles north of Munich in Germany.
Germany!
Yeah. So in 1922, the Hinterkaifeck farm was inhabited by the Gruber family.
Gruber.
It was Andreas Gruber, who was 63, his wife Cazelia, who was 72. So, meow, he liked some older women.
Meow.
Their daughter, Victoria, who's 35, she was a widow and had two children, Cazelia, in name of her mother, who was 7 years old.
Oh, okay.
And then Joseph, who was 2 years old.
Joseph.
There's also their maid, Maria Bumgardner. She was 44. And on April 4th, 1922, all six of them were found murdered on the farm.
Damn.
Yeah.
All six?
All six. The five members of the family and the maid.
Damn.
So, backing it up some, in the 6 months prior to the murder is kind of when everything started happening.
Hmm.
So their previous maid had quit 6 months ago, claiming that she thought that the farm was haunted.
Oh.
Because she kept hearing things.
Uh-oh.
So she quits. They're looking for somebody. I think it's a while before they hire Maria. But anyways.
Mm-hmm.
On March 22nd, 1922... Andreas found a newspaper that didn't belong to anybody in his family on the farm. So it was, like, not one that they subscribed to.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought that perhaps the postman had just dropped it. It was meant to go to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But when he asked him about it, the postman said that nobody on his route got that newspaper.
Hmm.
So that was a little weird, but they just kind of, like, forgot about it. And then, days before the murder, Andreas told his neighbors that he had found foot tracks in the snow from the forest leading to a broken door in the machine room. So I guess it was like a separate little shed that held all their equipment. So he saw two footprint tracks going to the shed.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't see any leading away.
Hmm.
And again, the door was broken. There was also one of the house keys that went missing during this time. And one day before the murder, Andreas heard walking around in the attic, so footsteps, and he ran up there, but when he got there, he couldn't find anybody.
Whoa.
So he had told his neighbors about this, but he didn't report it to police. He said, you know, thought it was silly. He didn't want to bother them.
Yeah.
Because it didn't seem, you know, these were like weird little occurrences, but nothing like bad was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yet.
So, on the night of March 31st, Andreas Cazilia 1 and 2, as I wrote it in my notes, Victoria were killed one at a time in the barn, and their bodies were stacked on top of each other and covered in hay.
Whoa.
It was said that Cazilia, the 7-year-old girl, had been alive for a little bit after the rest of her family members were killed. Ooh. And she had sat there in the hay, like, pulling out her own hair.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why?
Just because she was young and stressed.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so it was really disturbing. And then in the main house, somebody had struck Maria in the head while she was sleeping in her bed and killed Josef in his bassinet. All of them were killed with a mattock, which is farm equipment similar to a pickaxe.
Ooh.
So that was on the 31st. On April 1st, a couple coffee sellers came by to the farm and noticed the gate to the machine house was open. They didn't get a response. They went on their way. Obviously, Cazilia was absent from school, and it was noted that the family missed Sunday service.
Hmm.
And then on April 4th, there was a mechanic that came by to do a repair on some farm equipment. Again, didn't see anybody, kind of waited around, but then just went ahead and did his work.
Mm-hmm.
He noted that the barn door was open, but that he didn't look inside. And then at 3:30 in the afternoon on the 4th, Lorenz Schlittenbauer? I'm trying my best here. This man is the village guide, sent his two sons over to the Hinterkäfig farm to see if they could get a hold of anybody, but they couldn't find anyone either. Mm. So Lorenz went with two other men to the Hinterkäfig farm, and they were the ones who found the bodies.
Jeez.
Autopsies were performed, and Inspector George Reingruber initially thought that it could have been a robbery. But he pretty much dismissed this idea because there was lots of money found inside the house.
Yeah.
And it appeared as though the murderer had stayed several days in the house with the bodies.
Weird.
There was evidence that somebody had eaten bread and meat.
Ew.
Somebody had obviously looked after the cattle for several days.
Whoa.
Yeah. So during this time, over 100 people were interviewed. And nothing ever came of it. Eventually, the case was closed in 1955.
Whoa.
I think this is like the longest cold case in Bavaria.
Yeah.
One night after the crime, an artisan reported that he was walking by the farm and saw someone burning something in an oven and that it had a revolting smell.
Ooh.
But that the person kind of was walking away and shined their lantern in his eyes so mm-hmm. that he couldn't see anything and, like, kind of went off. And then somebody else reported on April 1st at 3 a.m., it was a farmer and a butcher, saw two people at the edge of the forest, but then once they saw them looking, they kind of, like, shielded their eyes.
Hmm.
So, super creepy.
Yeah. And that's it?
No, that's not
okay.
it.
Okay, I was like, what? I was like, they didn't get anything else?
It was a dramatic pause.
Oh, okay.
So I do have a few suspects for you.
Ooh, okay.
But obviously this is an unsolved case.
That's insane.
However, there were a lot of people that, like, had one or two sentences about them
mm-hmm.
that was like, yeah, this person knew this person, and these guys were bad news, and they were suspects. So yeah. I only chose a couple that I thought were, like, the most likely.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Hinterkäfig farm actually belonged to Victoria through her husband, and her husband, Carl Gabriel, is one of the suspects.
Oh.
But you thought she was a widow. She technically was. Oh. However, Carl Gabriel's body had never been recovered. He was in World War One.
Okay.
So he was presumed dead.
Gotcha.
So some people thought that perhaps he had come back and murdered everyone when he discovered that she had Josef. Obviously, ooh, this could not have been his child since he was dead.
Yikes.
But, you know, never proven. And then again, who would have been the second person? Because clearly there were two people in there.
Yeah.
The second suspect that I thought was pretty likely was our own Lorenz Schlittenbauer.
Oh.
Now, he had a relationship with Victoria previously.
Oh.
And he was possibly Josef's father.
Who?
He did, like, he kind of went back and forth claiming that he was the father and then that he wasn't. It seemed like whenever it came to, like, actually support his child, he was like, no, not my kid.
Mm.
And he did a couple suspicious things when finding the bodies. He moved the bodies in the barn, so he disrupted the crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
But he claimed it was because he was looking for his son.
So why would you pile them up and hide them?
Right. So he was, like, moving the bodies in the pile to try to see if Josef was there. And then he let himself into the house
and ate
and found Josef with his key. How'd remember he get a key? I said there was a key that went missing?
Oh.
Now he could have had a key because he was possibly Josef's father.
Mm-hmm.
Not really sure whether or not they willingly gave that to him,
mm-hmm,
but he did move bodies and he did let himself into the house.
Very suspicious.
Very suspicious, Schlittenbauer. So, another interesting little tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
If Lorenz wasn't Josef's father, who else could have been? The most likely suspect? Victoria's own father, Andreas.
Mm.
This 63-year-old man had been convicted of having an incestuous relationship with his daughter. Non-consensually, of course.
Ew.
He did a year in prison. And they gave Victoria a month in prison.
Okay.
Which, again, non-consensual.
Yeah.
And just, like, how disgusting, for one. For two, he was so old.
Ew, yeah.
And when they were both in jail, it was just the grandmother, the 72-year-old grandmother, taking care of the children.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a dirty, disgusting piece of shit.
You tell him.
But that is also seen to be a potential motive for Schlittenbauer, is that his child's grandfather was also messing around with his, you know, boo thing.
Ew.
Very ill. And the third one that I chose to talk about,
mm-hmm,
as a man named Paul Mueller. He was a German immigrant who had been living in America, and he was the only suspect in an 1897 murder of a Massachusetts family. It was potential that he could have been involved in many crimes, because they all had, like, a similar sort of MO that seemed to be exclusive to him. And he ended up returning to Germany when people started to connect those murders together. So he was back in Germany in this time.
Yeah.
Most of the other suspects were, like, people who had occasionally worked on the farm. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a couple of brothers or, like, two guys that worked together. But there didn't seem to be, like, much motive other than that they knew the farm and had access to it because they had worked there previously.
Damn.
But that's what I've got on the Hinter Kaifeck murders.
That's crazy.
And to be honest, since I wrote this, I have felt like so paranoid in my house.
Ooh.
Because I feel like that's just one of those things that I've always like thought but hated to think that like, ugh, but what if there was somebody in your house?
Yeah, no, that's terrifying. I have that fear as well, actually. Like, yeah.
I get it especially when I'm in the shower.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I used to think
somebody's gonna be there.
Yeah, I used to not be able to, like, actually, like, wash my shampoo off correctly in the shower because I, like, couldn't close my eyes.
No, same.
So that might be why I have so many fucking neck pain problems now.
Yeah, because I'm like, when I open my eyes, there will be a face staring at me.
No, literally, I get that same fear.
So creepy.
It's so creepy. God, well, geez Louise.
Yeah, and just, like, the living there with them, no care in the world. Like, hey, let me actually go feed their cattle. What?
Yeah. So, what they heard, like, the footsteps and stuff that they heard, it was just somebody, like, living in their house?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Before they murdered them.
Jeez. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Woof. Well, damn. You really did bring on the spooky tonight.
I know, right? Do you have goosebumps?
A little bit.
Me too.
Poops is taking a nap. She thought it was boring, I guess.
You know what, Poops? You are my enemy now.
Is that okay? It's fine.
I don't care.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to do like a live spell with you guys tonight. Yay, it's so fun. what we're going to be doing comes from Brujeria.
Brujeria.
You know, for all the bad brujas out there, this is called an limpia. So it's literally an egg cleanse. And the idea behind it is that the egg absorbs all the negative energy. And through viewing how we crack the egg and what it looks like, we can see if somebody has put some bad juju, my little hole. Hex vibes on Reyna, which we highly suspect, because, like we said, a bitch has been going through it.
Yeah.
So, we've got a cup.
And then, like, I want to add, like, in rapid succession.
Yeah.
Like, literally,
one
like,
after the other.
Every single day, you text me and you're like, how are you today? And I'm like, well, this happened.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my god.
The damn things just haven't stopped happening.
They really haven't. The years start coming and they don't stop fucking coming.
Yeah, Smash Mouth knew what the fuck they were talking about.
They really did.
So we've got like three ingredients.
Yeah.
So pretty fucking simple. You probably have everything at home anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a cup of water. It's like coldish room temperature. You don't want hot water. We've got it in a plastic cup because, I don't know, you don't want to like have all that negative energy.
True.
Into the cups that you're then drinking out of, and also egg.
True.
And that leads us to our second ingredient.
Egg.
And third ingredient, something to cleanse the egg. We didn't have any incense on hand, so we've got some pink Himalayan sea salt.
Yep.
So I would say just like...
I have Palo Santo spray.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Well, we could do both.
I mean, I was just going to have you like grind some of this up and like rub it in your hands with the egg. But the spray sounds easier. So, you know, you go ahead. You do the honors. Just, you know, cleanse that egg. You know, get the...
The egg or my hand?
The egg, okay. Man. Just get all the good vibes on it. Okay. And now what you gotta do is, like, rub the egg all over your body, like starting from your head, and just really like visualize it absorbing the negativity that's been clinging to you. Yeah, please don't drop it. Just let it do its job and like absorb all that bad shit. And once you feel in your heart that that has been sufficient, we crack zig. Yeah, just leave it. Okay. So while we let that settle in.
I got shell in it.
Look, we're just trying our best.
I had to crack it on a glass table.
Like 7 times.
Okay, so now we just have to let it sit and wait.
Yeah, we're going to let it settle so that we can, like, really read the water.
Yeah.
See what it's looking like.
Okay. And in the meantime, I'm going to change Sabrina's septum for her.
Please wash the egg off. Fun fact, Raina also used to do piercings. And I'm going through, like, a quarter-life crisis and, like, needing to change up my entire look. So, Raina's gonna help me out with that. Yeah, it happens to the best of us. I am sorry that you're gonna have to, like, stick your fingers up my nose a little bit. That's okay. This is why I love you.
All right. Let's get to this.
So we are back. The egg cleanse has had a chance to settle for a little bit. And now we are going to read the results. So we've got two, like, big bubbles, a couple little smaller bubbles. Typically, that's a good thing.
Cool.
That means that it was successful, that it's cleansed you of some energy.
Cool.
And bigger bubbles represent, like, gossip. And people, like, keeping tabs on you.
Ooh.
So since there's two, I would say it's probably, like, two different people.
I'm pretty sure I know what two.
Other than that, let's see. We've got some, like, cloudy bits on the bottom. A couple little, like, raised points. Or a spike. And represent gossip. Blockages. It's a little bit cloudy. That's connected to physical symptoms, like,
oh,
like mental fog,
like a pinched nerve,
yeah,
like a cold,
like headaches, physical ailments.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, that was pretty spot on with what you've experienced.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But safe to say that this has helped a little bit. And maybe we can do one of those
shut the fuck up spells. We're right back to the first episode.
Yeah, since our second.
Second
episode. Since we know what's causing it now.
Mm.
And now that we're done with this,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to look directly into it.
Yeah.
But go, like, either dump it out into the toilet and flush it or something.
Okay.
We got to get rid of it.
Okay. Got it. Will do.
But yeah, that's how you do an egg cleanse.
That's how you do an egg cleanse, y'all.
Good old Limpia.
Yay.
Yay. Raina saved their very last egg for that.
I did. I was going to throw it out, and I was like, no, I need this, actually.
And I noticed that you keep your eggshells.
What do you
use them for?
I use them sometimes for spells.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't really have plants because I can't because of her. So I can't, like, use them for fertilizer or anything, so I just put them in spells sometimes.
I love that. Eggshells are called cascarilla.
Mm-hmm.
And I use them in, like, spells for, like, new beginnings.
Yeah.
Because the egg represents, you know, like,
hatching.
A hatching. Yeah, exactly. Fertility. Whether that be in, like, money or whatever sense.
Yeah. Give me the money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. Well, that was episode 5. Hey!
The girls are fighting.
Hey. Anyway, that was episode 5. Thank you so much for joining us and being patient with me this past week. I really appreciate it.
And we'll be right on your tails with episode 6.
Yeah, so you won't even have to wait that long for that one. So don't worry. It'll be like a double whammy.
Exactly.
By the time you even finish this one, the next one will be out. Maybe. So, boom.
So, you know, just, like, make sure you double check your locks tonight.
Yeah, be careful. If you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, or suggestions, you can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at GWC Podcast. Yeah, you can follow our Instagram. We have pictures of the cats. If you want to know what we look like, we have a picture of us on there.
And we're really cute.
We're super cute.
And also, so, if you have any, like, just good vibes you want to send our way.
Yeah, that would be great. I could probably use that.
I think we all could.
Yeah. But, yeah, thank you so much for listening.
We love you.
We love you.
All 130 whatever of you.
Yay. Yay. Remember to light up.
And look out.
Yay. Bye.
Good night.